إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we all know this ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-An'am, إن صلاتي ونسوكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been told to say this, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say this, verily my salah, my sacrifice, my life and my death are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. لِلَّهِ هُوَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the Rabb of the worlds of the universe. I remind myself anew, first of all, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he prayed after takbir, after the first takbir tahrima, Allahu Akbar, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite this ayat, and then he used to make dua, and then he would say sana. So that's also something to remember and do in our own salah. But apart from that, I remind myself and you that if you look at how people work, how we work, whatever we do in life, people work for two reasons. One is they work for themselves, purely personal. And the other is they work for something or someone other than themselves. Now, in terms of other, first grade is family. So you go to work, to give you an example, you might be doing some work, you might be in a job that you are not enjoying greatly, it's not something which is inspirational, it is not something which is so fantastic, but you still go every day. And if somebody says, why don't you stop? You say, no, you know, I have a family to feed, so I have to go, I have to work. I'm not doing it for myself, I'm doing it for them. Similarly, it is the nature of the human being that animals, for example, they eat when they are hungry or they hunt when they need food. But there's no lion or tiger who hunts for next week and next month and next year. What he needs, he hunts, he eats, and that's it. And if you go to the tiger and say, well, what about tomorrow? He will say, tomorrow is tomorrow. We don't know about tomorrow. Right. That's not our nature. We are not satisfied with, do I have now after Salat al-Fajr, when I go home, will I have breakfast? Alhamdulillah, inshallah. But what about lunch? I don't care. We will see. We want to be prepared from breakfast, for not only this today's lunch, but lunch for the next 100 years. So it's this next week, next month, next year, next decade, next century, all this. And then if somebody says, you know, are you sure you will live? Well, whether I live or not, this has to be there. So more and more. This is the nature of the human being that we, and alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is Allah's hikmat in everything which Allah created. One of the reasons why the world still runs and why there is development and why people do things is because of this nature of the human being. If this nature was not there, you would not build things and you will not do developmental work, because there is no need. I mean, I'm doing it for today. Today is finished. Tomorrow, we'll see tomorrow. If that was the thing, then there would not be any development in the world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants development to happen. So He created a human being with this nature where He thinks about the future. So we work for two reasons. One is for our own personal self-satisfaction. I have got my food, I have got my clothes, whatever. The other reason we work for is for something other than us. As I said, first and foremost is family. Then we might be working for an organization. So you work because you want the organization to prosper, to grow, and so on. You work for a nation, and so on and so forth. So there are bigger and bigger aims. Now, also you work in order for satisfaction you get other than physical satisfaction. So, for example, all the people who do a lot of social work and things like this, they go to lot of hardship. Physically, they go through a lot of hardship. They go to areas where normally you would not go. People go for holidays, but they are not going for holidays. They are going to a place where their own travel, journey, everything is difficult. But they still do that because of the spiritual, emotional, mental satisfaction that they get from doing that work. I am helping somebody. People are going to do helping people in all kinds of difficulties. They are doing it for that reason, because I am getting satisfaction. So these are what we call self-actualization goals, where you are working for things of a things for spiritual benefit, mental benefit, emotional benefit, satisfaction, and so on. So that's another reason you work. Now here in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the absolutely most supreme reason to work for, and that is Himself, Jalla Jalal. So Allah is saying, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِ. Now say, my salah lillahi rabbil alameen. Whereas actually if you look at it, salah is for whom? Ibadah is for whom? It's for ourselves. Allah does not need our ibadah. If we, whether we pray or not, it does not make any difference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why do we pray? We pray to establish our allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our ubudiyat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I pray because I want to show to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I am your abd, I am your slave, and I am making sujood to prove this in your darbar that I am your abd. So this is to proving our own association, our own allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that is one thing, but make your salah for me. Now what is the benefit of making our salah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Many of us, we think, how can I get khushu in salah? By making salah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By saying that my salah is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla jalal. So therefore, if my salah is to be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what must be the quality of my salah? You know, if you think about it, for example, if you, I'm not saying you should do this for riya, but if you say, for example, if you go to a, if you are going to a wedding, or if you are going to some big function, you will not dress the way you dress when you are at home. So if you are, when you are at home, you are dressing for yourself. You are basically dressing to cover your body and some level of comfort. If it is cold, you may put on a small jersey or something. That's it, right? You maybe you are wearing a lungi because it's more comfortable. But you will not wear the same clothes that you wear at home in your bedroom or in your house. If you are going to a function, you don't wear the same clothes. If you wear the same clothes, people will say, what's wrong with you? How are you dressed like this? If you say, no, well, you know, I'm dressing for myself, this is how I dress at home. No, you dress at home. But when you come here, this is a big gathering. There are all kinds of people here and so on and so forth. Very significant place. You should be dressed appropriate to the place. So now what happens when you are doing the same thing? You are wearing clothes. The nature of the action has not changed, the same action. But because you are now wearing clothes for something else, when you are going to a job interview, you are not wearing clothes to cover your body. You are also wearing clothes to impress the person who is going to recruit you and say, well, here is a person who looks like he's a respectable person, he comes from a respectable family, he knows appropriate manners because he's dressed properly, he's not coming here wearing rubber chappals or something. You know, now you might say, well, you know, I am applying for a software programming job. Whether I wear a rubber chappal or I wear a leather shoe, how does it matter? No, it matters. If you go to an interview, you will find out. You will get selected or you will not get selected. And that's not on the basis of your chappal. Obviously, he is also interested in your knowledge and so on. But the way you are dressed indicates your attitude towards life in general. Here is a person who can just come to an interview wearing rubber chappals, wearing a t-shirt. He hasn't brushed his teeth, he hasn't combed his hair. If I hire this person, even though he has the knowledge, what kind of quality of work is he going to give me? Because he can't even take care of himself. So what quality of work is he going to give me? I mean, I have written a book on recruitment. I mean, not only have I done recruitment, but it's called Hiring Winners. I have a book on recruitment. This is the mind of the recruiter. The recruiter is not looking at you simply to say, you know, I want to hire this man for programming, so all I'm interested in is his programming. No, he is also looking at your manners. He's also looking at how you speak. He's also looking at how, because all of these things indicate who you are. indicates your background, indicates your culture, indicates your attitude, all of which has an effect in my organization. When I hire you, I am not hiring a silicon chip, I am not hiring a tool, I am hiring a human being. And that human being will have interaction with other people, that human being will deal with other people and so on. So even though he or she may have the knowledge, but other things about them can create a lot of disruption in my organization, which I don't want. So even if you have your knowledge, other people also have knowledge. So I will look for somebody who has knowledge and who has other things, other attributes about themselves, which make them desirable. Now this is what we are saying when we are saying my salah is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, salah, basic thing about salah is we are praying to establish our position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as His ibad. But when I say my salah is for Allah, then I am doing this, which is that I am now conscious, I am standing in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So starting from my external, what am I dressed properly? Is my tahara correct? Have I made wudu properly? Right, when I'm standing, am I facing the Qibla properly? What is the place? When I'm standing in the place I'm standing, is the place clean and so on and so forth? Alhamdulillah, if you come to a, you know, masjid, that's not the issue. But you, all of this, everything becomes a matter of concern for you. And so therefore, you take care of all of that. And then when you start your salah, am I focused only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is my khushu there? Is my khudu there? Am I thinking of anything else? Nothing else must come in my mind. When I'm reading Quran in the salah, am I understanding that? Am I connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that? Is this zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creating peace of mind, peace of heart? Allah bi zikrillahi tatmainul qulub. The best of the zikr is in salah. So therefore, and Allah said, verily in the zikr of Allah is itminan of the qalb, is peace of mind. So therefore, am I getting peace of mind in salah or not? We hear so many stories of the salah of the Sahaba, salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how in salah they would be completely lost to the world because they are focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us our salah to be like this. May Allah give us that level of concentration. This is where also benefit of that is that it completely focuses you on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the quality of salah improves. Now this is one side. Other side of praying like this, focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that it takes away all your stress, takes away all your difficulties and thoughts and so on, because you are focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, who is Rabbul Alameen. What is my stress? What is my need? What is my pain? What is my difficulty? What is my anxiety? When I am standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu and I am talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is it that I can ask Allah which Allah cannot give me? Which need do I have which is so big that even Allah cannot satisfy this need? Is there something like this? It's not possible. This is not only a matter of aqidah, it is a matter of logic, because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb of the Alameen, and indeed and in fact He is the Rabb of the Alameen, then what is your need and my need before the Rabbul Alameen? So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah. And then also what happens is, even if I am asking Allah for something and I do not get it, I do not feel sad, because I know this is not because Allah can't give it. It is because of something else. There is some other hikmat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is some other wisdom why Allah is not giving me something which I have been asking Allah for so many times. Because this is another thing in our heart. Sometimes, and you are, what you are asking for is jais. It's not as if you are asking for something haram. You are asking for something good for yourself, for your family and so on and so forth. But you find that despite making dua over and over again, you still do not get it. So sometimes the heart, you feel sad, you know, what is the good I asked so many times. No, never lose hope. Because first and foremost, as I said, when you are focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you are asking Allah, you know, it's not that Allah cannot give, but Allah is not giving. Why is Allah not giving? Obviously, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala biyadihil khair, in His hand there is only khair, and Allah wants good for me. Maybe what I am asking, I only know what the visible or the apparent of what I am asking. I do not know what is behind this. Wallahu alam, I am asking for something, looks good to me, but what is behind it is not good, so therefore Allah has not given. Many times I have said this, that alhamdulillah, in my own life I have seen this. I am now old enough to have enough of a history of my life to be able to reflect on it. There are du'as which I have made in my youth and later, which today I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah did not give me what I asked. Because now I have seen the later side of it also. But when I was asking dua, obviously I did not know that, right? Oh Allah, please. But now when I see the background of it, I say, Alhamdulillah, I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for such and such a thing for so many times and in so many places and so much khushu and with so much sincerity, and Allah knows I was very sincere, but Allah did not give me what I asked, and today I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ya Allah, you did not give me because you knew what is behind this thing, I did not know, and this is Allah's hikmat that Allah has not given. So when we are focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our salah, all of this thing comes through. Then where is the place for shaitan? Where is the place for wasavis? Where is the place for the thought to go here and there? It cannot go because you are focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu. And when you are focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, obviously the sabab of the salah and so on and so forth is understood. It is definitely going to come. But the action itself becomes the most beautiful that you can make it. Because when you are focused on Allah, as I mentioned, you're going to this big gathering, you're going to meet the president, prime minister, whoever, you are very conscious, how am I dressed? You are trying to do your best to appear as good as you possibly can. So when who is ta'ala Allahul Amthal, Allah is not comparable to anything. When we are before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we are focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then automatically what must happen to the quality of our salah, quality of our dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, bismillah ta'ala, we'll talk more about this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to make all and everything in our life lillahi rabbil alameen. La sharika lahu wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.